My daughter quipped that I should skew my topics more towards what I do best or what I've excelled in before. I've been receiving a lot of messages asking me what it takes to be a DJ or a radio announcer. So I figured the best way to do this is to talk about how you can be an effective broadcaster. Hi, my name is George, and welcome to another masterclass. This is brought to you by Cutprint Productions. Broadcasting came to my life out of a dare. I never imagined myself going on air. In fact, my only relationships with radio and music were the daily early morning Tagalog newscasts, the nightly top 10 countdowns, and my personal open reel tapes and vinyl records, which weren't really that substantial. I didn't even know or listen to specific DJs. So, how did I get involved in this business called broadcast? I had just graduated from high school and looking forward to a college life when one day, one of my buddies came to me and asked me different musical artists of that time. I asked why, and he said he wanted to apply in a radio station as a disc jockey. I found it hilarious because he wasn't exactly the best English speaker I've ever heard, and radio DJs that time spoke with near flawless English with the requisite American twang. But he insisted, so I shared with him some information and trivia about pop music. You see, I'm a trivia junkie. Long story short, he applied and became a DJ. Good for him. A few months after, he again came to me and asked me if I wanted to be a DJ like him. I said no. He persisted. I said no. He then said I just didn't have the balls to do it. And being a cocky teener, I said, I'll give it a shot. Oh, what pride could do, right? Turns out that two other classmates of ours were already in that radio station. I would be the fourth if I get in. And so I applied together with several other wannabes. There was a panel interview composed of the DJs of the network that included my three classmates. After the introductions, I was given a big ball pen and told to describe it for 30 minutes. I thought it was a joke. It wasn't. So I took the pen and went on a discourse about the writing instrument for almost 30 minutes. They stopped me when they've had enough, and I thought that was it. I was going to be sent out, and those were my first and only 30 minutes of exposure to radio. Apparently not. I was asked to come back that same evening for another interview. I did, and the interview turned out to be an orientation. Only two other applicants were called back. They showed me the radio booth. I then realized they used multiple turntables and tape machines. They taught me how to use the microphone, how to cue a record and a tape, and how to use a program log. I was sent home after a couple of hours and told to come back the next morning at 4:30 for training. Since I just lived 10 minutes away by foot, I said yes. What did I have to lose? After all, I was used to waking up early. I ran regularly in the morning. Next day, I got there at 4:30. Not a soul in sight except for a snoring technician. I woke him up and told him I was supposed to undergo training. He said to go inside the booth, practice, and at 4:55 play the national anthem and read the script on a card and play music and talk just like a normal DJ. I asked who was going to train me and he just shrugged. So I did what he said and went through the motions. At 5:30, no trainer arrived. 6 a.m., same thing. So I just tried to get the hang of it and played whatever records were in the booth and followed the commercial schedule in the log. At 7:45, somebody finally arrived and I asked if he was my trainer. He said nope and said I was already hired and that was going to be my regular slot, sign on from 5 to 9 a.m. And so I would start a more than 50-year-old career in radio, spawned by a dare, and my show was a morning drive. Welcome to prime time. Now, How did I last more than 5 decades in a supposedly dead-end job? While my friends were in corporate jobs after college, I was gabbing every morning. People told me to get a real job. They said, what was I going to feed my future family? Vinyl records? But I thought to myself, while my friends were putting in at least 8 hours of work 5 to 6 days a week, I was doing 3 to 4 hours a day for 5 days a week. And what I was earning was almost as much as a bank manager's, if you consider the hourly rate. So there, it gave me some comfort looking at it that way. Radio ceased to exist when martial law was declared, so I just decided to see what school had to offer. But in 1977, I got a call from a famous DJ and production man and asked if I could come over to his office to discuss production. I asked, what's it all about? Where'd he hear about me? And he said, word gets around on who does productions with a passion. You see, I was providing the different hotels nonstop party music, and my reputation quickly spread like wildfire. So I went to this dinky old building inside a university campus and ended up being given a 10-page script, which apparently was a newscast. And I was asked to enter a freezing room, which looked like a radio booth, and told to deliver the news. It was live, on air. And I was alive again, on radio. My passion for the job was suddenly rekindled, and I became a DJ once again. During the span of my radio career, I was pirated 4 times. Some wags called me a mercenary. I consider it moving up. I've never regretted any of my moves and decisions. And so we go to what this podcast is all about. How did I last this long in an industry where hundreds would give anything to grab my job? What does it take to be an effective broadcaster? This broadcast series will have several episodes. I want to touch on the different aspects of broadcasting, specifically the radio business. Take note, I called it a business because it really is a business. A radio station will never survive if it doesn't have commercials. And it won't have commercials if it doesn't have ratings. And it won't have ratings if it didn't have credibility and integrity. And most importantly, a radio station must have people who are passionate about what they're doing. From the executives to the marketing people, from DJs and newscasters to technicians and everyone in between. Radio is a collaborative effort, and the characters revolve around one totem pole, which is passion and commitment. This certainly gives you a pretty good idea what the series will be all about. We'll talk about on-air performance, programming and production, sales and marketing, technical stuff, everything you need to know about broadcasting and how you can thrive in it. Hope you follow the series on broadcasting. I used to teach radio in a college. We called it Radio 101 and Production 100. This series will cover more than 4 terms of college education. Tell your friends to join you. And you can send in questions so I can clarify some of your doubts. Just send it to george@cutprintproductions.com. That's george@cutprintproductions.com. I'm looking forward to seeing you next week. In the meantime, keep radio alive by tuning in to your AM, FM sets. Radio will always be a constant companion, no matter where you are, no matter what time of the day, no matter the prevalent conditions. And tune in to this masterclass every week. And before I say goodbye, I just want to dedicate this series to a co-DJ back in WLS, Master T, who passed on this morning. He joins another former colleague, Fred James, and our boss, the Big Daddy LDJ, in that station in the sky. We spent some of the best years of our radio career in that station. Tito, Fred, and LDJ put in a good word up there for us down here. Stay safe and sane, and thanks for joining me. Good night, God bless. Ad maiorem, Dei gloriam. This show is produced by Cutprint Podcast Network and George Boone. Executive producer, Patsy Ferrer. Writer, George Mercado. Creative director, Christine Alido. Social media manager,
Nia Escondo, sound engineer MJ Habal, researcher Lee Malcolm. To advertise, email us at podcast@cutprintproductions.com or call us at 0918-807-8478. That's 0918-807-8478.